The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com. Or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, helping to build stronger and better lives. And I am coming to you live from Omaha. We have a lot of noise in the background because we are at the annual meeting of Berkshire Hathaway. But we're talking about Think and Grow Rich today and your imagination. And just imagine the imagination that it took for Berkshire Hathaway to be formed by Warren Buffett. Today we're going to have an awesome conversation talking about the power of our imagination. The noise you hear in the background are many people that are rushing to get into this building. Many of us have been out here for 3 hours waiting in line to get a good seat up front, using the creativity and the imagination that it takes to be a forward thinker when it comes to our finances. Again, this is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, and we're talking about the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill and the chapter on imagination. And at this time, I'm going to turn the show over to Dr. Betty Knighton, who will introduce our awesome host, and then we'll start our show. Thank you for joining.
Thank you, Ann. Good morning. Okay, this morning we have with us Peter James is the co-host this morning. We have Ursula Odom. Of course, Ann McNeil will be on and off, and we will have a special guest that I will introduce in a minute. But first, I'll have each one of the co-hosts introduce themselves. I'm Betty Knighton. I'm the CEO and president of Emerge Publishing Company. Everybody has a story to tell or information to share. And how do you share it? In a book. Don't let your ideas go to the largest library in the world, which happens to be the cemetery. So many untold stories, so much unshared information. So tell your story and share your information. We're going to have Ursula introduce herself and then Peter James.
Good. Good morning. This is Ursula Odom, and I am the CEO of Sula 2, and we make all new in everything we do. In that, we will preserve, capture, and present legacy information in any form possible, from book to video to legacy walls. And I, too, love presenting your story. That's what we do.
Thank you, Ursula. Peter?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Peter James. I hope everyone is doing well this morning. I am the president and CEO of HCG Consulting Solutions out of Chicago, Illinois. I am so pleased to be with everyone this morning. I focus on, I'm actually a business and leadership coach, and I focus on taking my clients from average to high performing. again, so happy to be with you all and looking forward to a lively event this morning. Thank you.
Great, great. So this morning, as Ann said, we are going to be talking about the chapter on imagination, and we're going to have our special guest chime in on this. We have with us today Jessica Walker. She's a digital media strategist, expert, and consultant who helps experts build, grow, and project confidence in their digital presence to attract high-value clients, maximize growth opportunities, and increase sales. Jessica offers expert digital media strategy and consulting services to higher caliber clientele, executives, entrepreneurs, international speakers, or anyone determined to succeed and take their business to the next level. So we're so excited to have Jessica with us this morning, and we're going to let Jessica tell us about herself and what she thinks about this chapter on imagination. Jessica?
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome.
Oh, so you want me to tell a little bit about myself?
Yes.
So yes. You said in the bio, I work a lot with higher caliber clients who want to utilize digital media, which is a broader term of social media, to attract opportunities and to basically utilize all pieces of the digital sphere to reach a broader audience, just as we're doing now with our podcast, right, on this podcast. There's so many people out there that really truthfully, like you all said, need to hear their own stories told by someone else so they can relate to them. So I just help you be more authentic and create content that will attract those opportunities as well as help people move forward in their own life by using yourself as the example.
And the name of your company is?
It's Jaw Speaks Digital.
Jaw Speaks Digital. Great name.
Yes.
Now, Jessica, I know you've probably read this chapter on imagination. What does this chapter, why does this chapter stand out for you versus other chapters in the book?
I think because it talks a lot about the vibration of thought. I think that's one of the things that kind of stood out to me and how your ideas have power. Especially working in the digital media sector, you have a lot of ways that you can place out your content, but you have to have the central piece of the idea of what you want people to see in you or how you want to project yourself out to that audience. So I think really truthfully this particular chapter really hones in on the power of your ideas and the power of the mind.
Fantastic, fantastic. I know some others will have questions, but before we go to the others, I just want to sort of give my aha moment while I'm on. It was talking about, this chapter talks about age of rapid change. And if you bear in mind, this book was originally published over 70 years ago. And if that was rapid change, then what about now? Just think of the age we live in now. Phones give us direction. They give us any info we need. We could ask our phone or Alexa for whatever we want to know. Our grandchildren have grown up in this age, and they don't know anything different. So my aha moment was on page 91, where it says that of all the ages of civilization, the one in which we live is the most favorable for the development of the imagination because it is an age of rapid change. Now, it made me think of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 4, which says, knowledge shall be increased. Now, this was projected during biblical times. Think about how rapidly knowledge has increased. And what was considered high-tech 5 years ago is now obsolete. But it was an idea that was turned into a burning desire with definiteness of purpose that fueled Facebook, Google, and other vehicles. So it was someone's creative imagination. And that's why I think this chapter is so very important. But I don't know if it's time for a commercial break. But if not, we'll see what Peter James has to say and what his aha moment is, and then he may want to ask you a question. But it may be time for a commercial break. But before the commercial break, could we recap what the various chapters are, because there are several chapters in this book, and we want people to know what all we've covered. So could we get a recap, please, of the various chapters before the commercial break?
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill says that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what he calls auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because that positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people, imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought. We go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision, which Napoleon Hill says is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill says that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books, I love even the title, 3 Feet from Gold, that those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter, had better information than anybody else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number eight. Step number nine, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody had somebody who helped them to get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us, use the thought, use the knowledge, use the inspiration of other people to help us in achieving our goals. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical. But what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires, that if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spent quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of sex, of step 10, which is sex transmutation. 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting link between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious Mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our minds. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought.
Thank you for that. Fantastic. Okay, now what we'd like to do, I'd like for Peter James to give us his aha moment from this chapter, and then we'll have Ursula give her aha moment before we go back to our guest. So, Peter, you can share with us what you gained from this chapter.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much this morning. Jessica, thank you so much for being with us. How are you doing?
She's probably on mute.
She might be on mute. Okay, forgive me for that. So you know, thank you for asking a little bit about my thoughts on this chapter of imagination. So many great chapters in this book that we just heard about, for sure. Quite a few things jumped off the page as I've gone through this chapter over and over again. The synthetic and creative imagination that we all possess, that we all definitely must use on a regular basis. Some great words that jumped off for me. Page 91, of course, it says that anything that can be created, which a human being can imagine, that's powerful, meaning that no matter what we think of, we can really accomplish it if we really, really choose to. Page 98 also says, which I'm a proponent of, our mindset and how our mindset is. And it says the only limitation is that which one sets up in one's own mind. And, you know, oftentimes we are our own worst enemy as it relates to what we put in front of us. We get in our own way, for lack of a better word. And then lastly, on page 101 of the book, it says, you know, and I'm, you know, I try to be a very devout Christian, and this sentence right here, again, just really screams at me. It says, God seems to throw himself on the side of people who know exactly what they want if they are determined to get just that. And so what that kind of screams to me is faith without works is dead, for lack of a better word. So those are a few of the things that jumped off the pages in this chapter, this great imagination chapter. So again, so many great chapters. This one's very unique in its own right. But Jessica, you know, those are just a few of my ahas, not necessarily asking you to jump in like I did there, but what are some things that you saw or really jumped off the page from your perspective, maybe that were ahas or just insights that maybe we didn't quite see as well?
This is Ursula. I am so sorry. I did not unmute her because I was expecting to give my aha, which... Jessica, we apologize for that. You will be given an opportunity to share your story in just a moment because we really want to hear it. We really do. But just to complete my aha moment, I was just thinking about what's on page 95, and it says, ideas are the beginning points of all fortune. Ideas are products of the imagination. And I had the good fortune of receiving a phone call from someone in another state asking me to consider their project. And to introduce that project, the person was very articulate in sharing her story. And I realized that that was absolutely the perfect thing to do because each word has a picture attached to it as far as I'm concerned. Being a creative person and an analytical person, quite frankly, I will take certain words and they tend to have bigger meaning for me because I'm trying to create something that will tell a story. And my aha was that I realized that for me, when I'm listening to someone, I'm listening for the words that dance. I'm listening for the words that create a picture. And I settle into that with a great deal of comfort and joy. And thinking about the last chapter that we went through, it was specialized knowledge. And the creative process, the aha for me, is freer to express itself once you're comfortable with your specialized knowledge. So these two chapters are really perfectly aligned, because when you're comfortable with what you do, then fear, anxiety, all of those things that get in the way of creativity just go out the door and you settle into your creativity. And I totally enjoyed that conversation with the person. She felt it, and we are actually going to do some wonderful work together because we spoke the same language and the creative process began. So that was my aha moment. And at this point, we're going to go to a commercial, and then Betty can reintroduce our guest.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Okay, we're back, and we're talking with Jessica Walker. She's the owner of Joss Speaks Digital. And that's where smart, driven, ambitious people up their digital media game and become the example of success. Jessica's clientele enjoy highly personalized, concierge-like consulting services, including, but not limited to, one-on-one social media training, individualized digital media training, custom digital media technology training, and much, much more. So welcome to the show again, Jessica, and we'd like to hear more from you, and then we'll have Peter ask the question that he was trying to ask earlier. So you're on.
No worries. I'm just glad that you all have me here, and I'm ready to get started with the question.
Great. Peter, you want to ask the question that you asked earlier?
Absolutely, Jessica. Thank you so much for your patience. Forgive me for being so premature. So, I shared a little bit of my aha moment, some things that jumped off the pages for me in this great book. But if you could tell us a little bit about some things that really were insightful for this chapter on imagination to you.
Well, Peter, I have to start off with I think we were on the same wavelength, because you've already shared what it was going to talk about.
I'm so sorry.
Great. But that's great.
But absolutely, please
as
reshare.
As soon as you said the
absolutely.
Page number, I said,
I took
So I'm going to redirect a little bit, and I'm going to focus in on another piece that kind of stood out to me as an aha as well, which is, I'm going to read a little bit of it. It's kind of a little snippet of the whole creative imagination paragraph, but I'll just read the piece that really stood out. It was through this faculty that thought vibrations are influences from the minds of others are received. So, of course, you'd have to read the book in order to know exactly what they're talking about, but to give my interpretation of that, through the faculty that thought vibrations are influences. So when we think about, especially, and I like to put everything into digital media terms because I'm just a dork like that. I'm a bit of a digital nerd. Examples of success, like I said in the bio, when I speak to a lot of people, they don't really realize how much of their lives they've taken and they've become the example of the thing that they're trying to instill in others. So they tend to look at their lives as though it's not, or their stories or their background is like, oh, it's not important, or they have to reach a certain pinnacle in order for something to be of what they think the example should be, right? They look for in themselves, and they try to define by society's norms instead of looking at, wow, I'm amazing. I've actually accomplished this, 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 and this. And so when we think about the thought vibrations and influences from our minds and how they influence others, we also need to take that into the context of your platforms. And I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to this, or I think the majority of people that read this book, are entrepreneurs or inspiring to be entrepreneurs. So you really need to think about that in the context of creative imagination, but then how you create content that you then put out to the world that then transfers that thought vibration, right? And that you become that influence on someone else's life. So that was one of the ahas, aside from, of course, the other ones that Peter mentioned before. Would you like me to continue or?
What, Jessica, I'll tell you what, Anne has gone to a quiet place, and I'm going to call on Anne and see if she's in a quiet place, but then I want to come back to you because I want you to tell your story. We need to hear your story. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so
and
we'll see if Anne is in a quiet place.
Yes. I am in a quiet place, but that was my question. I'd love to hear her story. So that's my question.
Okay.
And we want to thank her again for joining us on this awesome show. Thank you. If you can tell us a little bit more about yourself, Jessie, and how were you introduced to the book, and also how we all met as a part of Black NSA, which I think is very important when you talk about accountability on your imagination, because many times we have ideas, but then we have no one holding us accountable to actually act on those ideas. So if you can share with us a little bit more about yourself and your journey to the book, and how did this book lead you for all of us to meet as a part of Black NSA, as a part of the National Speakers Association. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. So I began this journey about 3 or 4 years ago. And at the time, I had just given birth to number 6. I have 6 children. And at that time, I kind of, you know, I'd lived the bulk of my life taking care of everyone else, especially my kids. And so, I was at the point in my life where it was like, what do I want to do? What, you know, and I didn't have an answer for that because I was so busy pouring into everyone else around me. I never really had an definite plan for what I was supposed to be. It was always just, you know, be a mom, take care of the kids, make sure that's taken care of, and then everything else around me just kind of fell into place. So once I came to that realization, like, oh my gosh, I don't even know, like, what I want to do. Like, what am I supposed to be doing here? I know, you know, I need to pour into the kids. I need to, you know, take care of the husband, do all that stuff. But what do I want to do as the individual, as the woman, you know, before the mom, before the wife, all of that good stuff. And so I really started to dive in deep into the Bible and reading. And I'd gone through a long period of postpartum depression. And I didn't really realize it was depression at that point. So especially in the community where I grew up, it's kind of like everybody's depressed around you. So you kind of don't know what that looks like because everybody kind of functions in that same manner. So I started to realize that some of the functions, especially in my family and the things that I was doing, were the direct result of the way that I thought and the actions that I put out into the world and the way that I responded to things. So I kind of use this with my kids. I tell them to not react, or not to respond, but to react, right? To think about how you can then take the conversation a different way. So anyway, to say all of that, I started getting out there and putting together these groups for mothers. I started speaking at juvenile hall and speaking to young mothers and talking to them about social media and digital media and how they could use that to make more money. But let me go back a step here. I saw an image of someone that came from the same community that I came from. It was actually a friend of my husband's. And he's like, wow, she's making all this money. She's, you know, successful. And I'm like, how does she do that? How do you just, you know, how do you become successful? How do you start working with celebrities and doing all this stuff and having private jets? And how does a person do that? And so in that investigation of just her life, I started to stumble upon, you know, Lisa Nichols and who was it at the time? TD Jakes, I don't think, was out yet. But it was Lisa Nichols. It was
Tony Robbins. It was all of the famous motivational speakers. And I found out that speaking was definitely a way to reach people and to motivate them. But within this girl's story, which I can't remember her name off the top of my head, she became that example for me. I had to see it in order to understand that, oh, there's someone that came from the same place that I came from, that went through some of the same things that I went through. If she can do it, then I can do it too. And with that understanding, I kind of accidentally bumped into digital media. I've always been great at technology. And then going back into my own history, my own story, and looking at my own life, I realized I've always been great with technology. It's just something that's innate for me. So within this business now, which all speaks digital, of course, there's been a million other things before that, but now that it's all speaks digital, I call myself, I'm like half life coach, half digital media, because you also have to deal with the mindset of people and help them understand their value, and putting yourself out there can be scary. So going back into their history and understanding that what they have is innate in them, and they've had it the whole time. They just didn't access it. And I always talk about this key that you have that unlocks opportunities. So once you find that key, you always have it. It's always been there. You just have to uncover it. You can unlock unlimited opportunities, which is something that is said in this book as well, but in a different form. So that's pretty much the journey from where I was to where I am now.
That's a fantastic story, Jessica. Fantastic. I believe everyone has asked a question. I don't know if, Ursula, did you ask her a question that you wanted to know?
No, I haven't asked the question, but boy, did you spark a number of questions in my mind. Okay, so I was going to ask you about keys to, I'm not going to even go down that path right now. When you mentioned that, you were depressed,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't know what that looked like, or you didn't realize that you were, because everything around you or a lot of people around you were. That was like profound for me, because what that said is that there are certain environments of which we move in and out of, where people don't know that they're not using their top potential. So my question is, how do you become imaginative or use your imagination when everyone else around you is locked in on depressing things? I mean, how do you break free from that?
Yeah, and so, and you kind of hit the nail right on the head, right? It's like, if everything around you is kind of messed up, how do you see something further or have hope that there is something better? And I'm going to take it back to the example of success. Like I said, and it really truthfully is that. It's seeing someone else that kind of came from where you came from, probably experienced some of the same things that you have experienced, but they were able to make it. So it's like, if it's possible for one person, it's possible for another person. So making it through that, I think I had, like I said, I had to understand that I had to change the ways that I responded instead of reacting, right? Like, I had to change that whole thing around. And once I started to do that, then the people around me started to change as well, because the same people that wanted to hang out with me before, all of a sudden I wasn't fun because I wasn't complaining with them anymore. I was actually trying to find solutions to problems instead of just complaining about the problem over and over and over again. So they were like, oh, I don't want to, I don't want to talk to you anymore. And it's like, okay, well, I choose to do something else instead of focusing on the problem continuously over and over and over again, like a broken record. What can we do to alleviate this? And understanding, like I said, that key and unlocking that and uncovering that. And once I started telling them, and they started seeing me get on television and, interview celebrities and stuff, and they're like, how are you doing that? Because I'm doing it. I'm actually getting out there and asking. I'm, connecting with the right people. I'm, making things happen around me because I want to be that example for my kids. So a little part that I left out of that was, I'm really truthfully not into digital media for the fame or the notoriety, all that good stuff. All that stuff is great. But really truthfully, it was because of my kids. I noticed that when they went online, they would see all of this craziness. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I know some amazing people, especially people of color. Where are they? Why aren't they online? Why are my kids seeing all these negative examples and not positive ones? So I really set out to help higher level individuals utilize it, because a lot of people just kind of look at it like, oh, I don't want to get on there. But it's like, no, we need you. We need that positivity. We need that positive energy in this space. So it goes back to what you were saying about environment. That digital environment is an environment as well. And if our kids are continuously seeing these images of negativity about themselves, about their culture, about all those things, where's the positive people? So I really wanted to help those positive people come to the forefront and say, no, you need a space here because we need to see you. And more importantly, our kids need to see you because they're the ones that are using it. And you're amazing. Get out there and tell everybody.
I hope that answered the question. Yes, it did. And in fact, the funny thing about what you just said was that I had a conversation with someone about just that. And I came to realize that all of that negative stuff drain me of my energy. It just saps me of my energy. And so if that's all you listen to, and if that's all that young kids are hearing, can only imagine the creativity and the energy that's just being sapped from them and replaced with all this garbage. And that's the image that they have of themselves. And it just drives me nuts. So I salute you for that.
Thank you.
So those are my questions, Betty. Back to you.
Okay. That was fantastic. But listen, Ursula, you said something about all the negativity just sort of drained your energy. And that brings us really back to page 92, where it says creative imagination works only when the conscious mind is functioning at a very high level of intensity or energy. So if your energy has been drained, it's hard for you to come up with the creative ideas. So that was a very important statement. Because we know that strong desire stimulates the conscious mind. And that goes back to what Jessica was saying. She had a desire to pull above where she was. And that strong desire propelled her into what she's doing now. Strong desire, energy, creative imagination. I asked my grandson one day, did he have synthetic imagination or creative imagination? Because at the time, of course, he was reading the book as a punishment. He did something wrong with his phone, and his dad told him, okay, to get your phone back, you have to read the entire book, Fletcher Roe Rich, and you have to call your grandmother weekly, and she's going to ask you some questions about what you read. So when we got to the chapter on imagination, I asked him what kind of imagination did he have. He said creative, because he is a guitarist. So at least he got that much out of the chapter to know that he had creative imagination. That's why this book is so important, not just for us, but for our kids, our grandkids. It's just a great book. Now, do we need to go to commercial break now, Ursula? Peter, did you have anything you wanted to add? Oh. Before we go to break,
I actually think the conversation has been so lively, and actually taking it all in, I'm just captivated by Beatrice and actually by everyone's comments as well. No, I don't have anything currently to add right now. If for those of you who are listening, if you haven't dove into this chapter on imagination, very unique chapter. I won't necessarily say it's the best chapter, my favorite chapter of the book, because I almost feel like I say that to every chapter that I talk to somebody about with this book. But what I really think is unique about it is it really taps into our thought process, our minds, what we dream, what we can create. And that, what it really speaks to me is that it can come to reality. Whatever you have in your mind, you can make it happen. Now, of course, you got to execute on your dreams. You got to execute on your plans and your goals. But it really just goes back to whatever you dream, whatever you write down for your goals and your plans, now take the next step to execute on it as well. So definitely consider that. And Beatrice, again, thank you so much for sharing even your background and your journey as well. So thank you.
Okay. So, does anyone have any closing remarks?
We want to thank our guest, Jessica. You have been fantastic. So much good information. We're so glad that you came on this morning, and I know everyone has learned something, and we just want to say thank you again.
Thank
you. You're so very welcome, Jessica.
Thank you, Jessica.
Any closing remarks, Ursula?
I guess I want to say really quickly that you're absolutely right. Energy is there, in especially in on that platform, and to understand that the energy that you put into it is what you'll get out of it as well. So if you surround yourself with positive, people and positive accounts, you know, it's kind of like online, the algorithm will only send you what you engage with. So understand that you have that power as well.
And as for me, I've enjoyed this, and quite frankly, it has given a couple of aha moments for me right now. And I do believe Anne has a couple of comments that she would like to make as well. But Jessica, thank you very much for a wonderful show.
Yes, thank you for having me, y'all.
Yes, I know the time is well spent. I know I have noise in the background, but if you could just bear with me for a minute. And Jessica, we all have children, and I was really just curious before we wrap up if there were any encouraging words that you may have for those who are listening with children in the area of imagination and how you might instill the creativity in your children as relates to this book. And by any chance, have you introduced any of your kids to the book? So just wanted to just ask that question. And I also want to thank you, our host, and all of our listeners that have tuned in, and everyone that's going to be listening in the future, because when you think about your imagination, you shared with us any area and state of life you're in, you can be creative. But also using this book and the accountability of others can help spawn and to grow that creativity. So I'm going to wrap that up by asking before you close if there are any comments or thoughts regarding the children or your children and how to enhance that creativity in them.
Oh, that is a great question. And which is actually pretty funny you ask that. My daughter is really into slime. Slime is a huge thing on YouTube right now. So for her, I think just understanding, like I said, about that key. The key doesn't just appear once you become an adult. It's always within you. So if you can see something in your child or you see something in a child, and just to nurture it and to understand that it's their key. It's the thing that they do better than anybody else. She is a crafter to the end. And I can't DIY anything. Like, there's something on Pinterest I want to make, and I try it. It does not come out correctly. But for her, she can just do it, and it's just, brilliantly, so I think just nurturing that key and focusing in on it. So I have not introduced the book to any of them yet, but I definitely will, especially for her, with all my kids, of course, but especially with her, because she wants to put on workshops for kids. She wants to do slime workshops, and she wants to go around and make slime with all the kids. So we are looking at a space right now to help her create that environment of just making slime. And she wants to be a YouTuber, of course. Everybody wants, all the kids want to be a YouTuber right now. But, I mean, she really truthfully just takes it and hones it. She doesn't only, look at people making slime. She's writing down her plan, because she's writing down the recipe. She's writing down all the stuff she needs me to go to Target and buy for her. She's, looking at locations. She's like, okay, I need these containers. I need this color. I need the glue. I need the glitter. She has it all laid out. So I think just nurturing that. So I have taken it a step further to say, okay, how are we going to put together this workshop, put together the flyer, all that good stuff, and just nurturing when you see that key, because the world and society will try to bury that key again. But if you always just kind of keep it forefront in their mind and nurture it, and then create experiences around that their essential theme and their gift. People call it a gift. I call it a key. I think that's the best way you can do it. So creating this environment for her to have these workshops and that experience, I think will stay central to her mind when the world tries to intrude. She'll go back to that experience of when she did that and be able to pull from that and draw from that and hopefully succeed.
This is Ursula. I'd like to...
Let me rephrase that. She will succeed.
This is Ursula. I'd like to make a comment on what you just said. You reminded me of two things. Thomas Edison, the first thing that he did was sit on an egg to see if it would hatch. And that was the first clue that he had an imagination, that he was curious about the world around him. And that never left. I mean, you know what he ended up doing, controversial or not, he still ended up doing quite a bit. And I think of my own first memory is crawling under my grandmother's bed. It was an iron bed, so it was up high, and pulling out a box that had letters and photographs and a lock of her sister's hair and stamps and all these miraculous things that led me to a view of the outside world. And that's who I am today. I mean, I don't put an old photograph in front of me because I know there's a story in there somewhere. And so all throughout my life, that has been central to who I am, no matter what I did. I ended up going into computers and becoming analytical, and I had some creative stuff that went on in terms of theater, but all of it has come back to that same little girl that crawled under that bed looking for a story. So I totally agree with you.
That is awesome, Ursula.
Thank you.
Now we just need to get you to create a YouTube video about it, right?
Okay. All right, so motivated. And with that, Betty, I guess you can wrap it up.
Well, thanks to everybody participating in this chapter on imagination. Creative, especially creative imagination. So, Jessica, you've been an awesome guest. And we just really want to thank you for coming on with us today. You've given us some ideas. You've motivated us. And we just want to say thank you. And thank you to our hosts. Thank you, Peter James. Thank you, Ursula and Anne. And thank you, Betty. But we're going to say goodbye, and we'll be back on next week. So, everybody have a great, great day.
Thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.